For my Mother's Day message this morning, we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I've never preached on this before. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. I read the scripture for you as I explained the last chapter of Proverbs, the words of Solomon. He has some very good advice to the king: don't you get drunk, don't you drink. And then he spends the rest of the time discussing the right kind of a woman that should be a mother. And believe me, it's a beautiful description of many a woman that I know. It's there. In fact, I don't find anywhere in the Bible anything quite as long about the father. The Bible does say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, that's a pretty big order. That is a pretty big order. And if husbands would treat their wives like the Lord treats the church, the wives would be happy and all right. But there's no details about the husbands given in the Bible that they have about the women. And you go through that chapter and you see all the things that that woman does. They were made for that purpose. And I wish a lot of these so-called women liberals right now would read that book and listen to it, because they're destroying the sanctity and the place that mothers have had and women have in all years. I remember one day I was called down to Washington. The Associated Press had a panel, and they asked me if I'd sit on it about the women. And there was a woman next to me who was head of the Lib organization, and it was being recorded. And she went on and made her usual speech about how the women want to take over the government and everything. And when I got up to make my speech, I said, you know, when I look at it, I said, women can do things that we men can't do. They can be mothers. And there's no man that can occupy the place of a woman in her love for the child. And then I turned to that woman, I said, trouble with you women is you ought to have more babies and be the right kind of mothers. I got an applause from the Associated Press when I said that. Women do have the privilege of bringing into this world every single human being. And my Bible says that there are arrows in your quiver, and blessed is a man that has many of them, has his quiver full of them. And in the olden days, when we didn't have the government to run things for us in this country, the people made their own ways and they had big families, and my mother was the last of 9 children. If my grandmother hadn't had a 9 child, I wouldn't be here. But those were the good old days when people lived out in the country and they had their farms and their lands and their cows and their sheep, and they didn't hear anything from Washington. Those were the good old days when Americans looked after themselves and didn't expect Santa Claus to come from Washington. But we've got to get back to the days where men and women believe that they've got to take care of themselves. They've got to be responsible for themselves. Now we have this question of Timothy that I've turned to today. And I think we have in Paul's description of young Timothy, he calls him my son. And I give you this charge, young Timothy. He writes 1 and 2 Timothy. And they're very precious. And Timothy, of course, was a pastor in Ephesus, and he was in charge of the Bible Presbytery or the church in Ephesus. That's where he was. But anyhow, Paul writes a very intimate and personal letter to Timothy. He says, son, you have in you an unfeigned faith. It's real. You've got in you a faith that's not make-believe. You've got a faith in you that's the kind of faith that saves. You've got in you the kind of faith that will keep you all the way through life. And then he says, Timothy, I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in your mother. Lois. I wonder what her married name was. Lois is her first name. And your mother, Eunice, I wonder what her married name was. Here the Apostle Paul was on a first name basis with the family that you had looking after Timothy. Timothy had the right kind of a mother, and Timothy's mother had the right kind of a grandmother. And consequently, Timothy was like what he was. What is that statement? Like mother, like son is a saying so true, the world will judge largely of mother by you. There's no doubt about it. The Apostle Paul was on a first name, intimate basis, family basis with Timothy's family. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to call people by name. And I won't tell you some of the little formulas that we've been told and been learned as to how you get a name and you associate with something else so you can bring it up again. But it's a wonderful thing that I've been able on my broadcast when people call in, I hear voices. And then all of a sudden the name comes up. And it's a wonderful thing. You've got to be careful by calling people by their first names, especially women. You've got to be very careful by this sort of thing. But Paul was very close to this family. How many times he must have spent with him. He did go to Ephesus. He was there. Timothy traveled with him some. But this letter here is the most beautiful revelation of what kind of a Christian life Timothy was raised in. What kind of a Christian home Timothy was reared in. Now I want to point out to you from the letter some of the things that indicate what the case was with Timothy. Are you familiar with this wonderful passage over here in the third chapter? And here it is. He gives us this reference, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's the basis on which Timothy's mother talked to him. And that's the basis on which Timothy's grandmother talked to his mother. The greatest thing in any home is the Bible. We can't sit down to a meal without prayer or without Scripture. The greatest thing in anybody's life is the Bible. I think I've told you that I was reared on it. Now, I must tell you that from the very earliest days, my mother said, son, always carry the Bible with you. Always carry the Bible with you. And I keep it here with the Psalms. I read it on the airplane. I read it everywhere. And I'll never forget the impression I had. We organized the International Council of Christian Churches. And Mr. Eric Koch was named our general secretary. He was a great man. I'm going to bring the speech on his life at the ICC conference. He spent 35 years in China, knew all the missionaries of China. He represented the government. Queen Wilhelmina knighted him. He was named general secretary, and I was very respectful of him. And as you know, he came here to Collingswood and lived right down here on Homestead Avenue, and one morning he ate a big breakfast and walked down on a cold day and got into my office there, and before I got there he just had a heart attack and died. And he's buried out here. But I hadn't been too close to him, and we got on the plane in Amsterdam to fly to London to see the Foreign Office about getting Tanganyika open for missionaries. And he was sitting by the window and I was sitting here. And suddenly I looked over there and he had his little testimony. He was reading his little testament. And I said to myself, I'll never be without one. I'll never be without one. Going from Amsterdam to London to see the head of the Home Office of the British Empire, he was sitting there by the window. He wasn't looking out the window. He was reading the Bible. You can never, never get away from the impact of that. This past week, the other day, I got the word of another group in this country They said they're starting another council of churches, Reformed Council of Churches, and they said they were going to get together with these different Reformed groups, but they didn't want to be negative. They didn't want to be offensive. And I said, well, listen, gentlemen, did you ever hear of the 23rd chapter of Matthew? Did you ever hear Jesus say to the Sanhedrin, the World Council of Jerusalem, call them a generation of vipers, and how can you escape the damnation of hell? And you try to win one convert, and you make him, another with him, part of this place where you're going to go, and then he finally tells them hell was made for the devil and his angels. Is there anything more negative than Jesus telling the religious leaders, you're going to a place where the fire never dies out and the worm never gets changed? We are told to tell people they cannot be misled and deceived by the deceivers of every age, and there have always been plenty of them. But beloved, you and I have not been. I've never misled you from this pulpit, and I never will mislead you. I'm committed fully and totally to what my mother prayed that I would be, a minister of the Word of God, and you know that's what I am. God bless my dear mother. My God bless. It's very interesting when you look at all the things that Paul told Timothy. Timothy, these scriptures are inspired. Why, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, young man, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. At his appearing. And then he comes on down. Listen to this. Oh, Timothy, I am now ready to be offered. I wish I knew how old he was. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now listen to this. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Timothy, I know you got the faith. It's in you. You got it from your grandmother, Lois. You got it from your mother. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, after this, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. You know what's distinctive of our Bible Presbyterian movement? Is our love for the rapture. It really is in it. Do you know what's distinctive about the International Council and these 500 denominations around the world? They're working. They're poor. You know what's distinctive of them? Well, I went to Latin America in 1949, made the trip around. What did I run into? The love of the appearing of Jesus. My, what it's going to be when he comes. The poor old world's going to be glad to get rid of us because our opposition will be gone. But we love his appearing. And then the apostle goes on with these other things he told him. Listen to this, verse 19 of chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. This past week on the radio, I went and got the articles of the Anglican Church, 39 articles. And I went and got our Westminster Confession. Oh, those are beautiful creeds. 400 years old they are. But the 39 articles belongs to the Episcopal Church, but they don't have it anymore. They've brushed it aside. The Westminster Confession of Faith belongs to you and me. We have it. We still have it. But that 39 articles has that beautiful section about the Lord Jesus. Second person of the ever-eternal Trinity left the glory he had with the Father before the world was, came down to this earth and took unto himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he died, rose again, sent it up to heaven. My, these great creeds are there. And we have a fellowship of churches all over the world that believe exactly that this book is without error. God hasn't made a mistake, and he never will, never has. And God has given us a word from heaven, and it's the beauty of the creation. You know, I've had a beautiful time this week. I all kinds of trials, trouble, I'm going all the time. But I went down to Cape May, you know, and went down. Everywhere I saw was pink dogwood. Went over to Faith Seminar. Lawn is just full of white dogwood. Now we've got these red things. Now we've got these purple things. Was it lilac time in Virginia, you know? Here's a purple that I see. And imagine these vines that just look like sticks. Suddenly there comes out of them a beautiful purple lilac. Carry me back to old Virginia. There you are. And here's the pink and the red. I've had a great time looking at them. And beloved, if the earth, which is cursed, can produce color and beauty like this, and we can see the hand of God, please tell me what it's going to be like in heaven. No curse, no pain, no sorrow, no glasses, no false teeth, no hurt toes. Oh, beloved, what in the world is going to be like when you and I become like Jesus? Yes, and it took a mother to make me. It took a mother to make you. I am so sick, I'm just about to tear my insides out when I think about these women going and killing their babies and having abortion. Who in the world would say that they had the right to kill what God put in their bosom to rear and sing the praises of God? Every time you get a baby born, you got a citizen of the kingdom of God when they're taught the truth. And they'll be in heaven, and there'll be an undivided circle in that place we call glory. Timothy, this man talked to you like a father. He called you a son. And then he said, Timothy, we've got these two references here to the last days. And in 2 Timothy, he goes on to tell us here in this beautiful, beautiful way. Know this, Timothy. The last days will be perilous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's what we got everywhere. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, truth breakers, without natural affection, false accusers. My, what a catalog of the things you and I are going through now. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of good, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to know what it's going to be like when Jesus gets ready to come back. And then down here he goes to a little further and he says, for of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead happy prostitutes, silly women. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Don't you go with them. From such turn away. Isn't it a sad spectacle in our country? You've got all these millions of people claim they're Christians. They don't have enough knowledge, enough faith to say that we won't get out of this wicked, sinful apostasy and go out, and if just the two or three of us, we'll meet together and Jesus will be there, but we won't entangle ourselves. We won't confuse other people by staying in these apostate churches. But they're doing it. You come over to 1 Timothy, he tells them the same way. Let the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor. Yes, the elders of the church have double honor and respect. Receive not an accusation against an elder except in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Then he says, now the Spirit tells us expressly, but in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. I'm sick of these people telling us we get a consensus. We get a consensus, and the Spirit of God is there. I don't have a consensus. I have a message from heaven, and that's all I've got to talk about. My, it's marvelous to know that God has spoken to us. And the older you get, the more wonderful you appreciate it, and the older you get it, the more love it. My, oh my, you good people. You good people. The Spirit tells you that these last days, this is what's going to happen. The speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then we have verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Timothy, tell them what it's going to be like in the last days. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. You talk to these fellows that won't take a stand. Why don't you inform your people? Why don't you tell your people? Why can't you? That's what you're there for. Well, if we do, it'll cause division in the church, and they don't all agree quite on the extremes that we're trying to take them to, so we'll just be quiet and keep the church at ease. And that's what you hear all over this country right now. Ministers will not get up and tell them what their mothers want them to hear. The truth that's in the Bible from beginning to end, that our lives and our activities can be formulated and lifted up to present and to honor our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, then thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fable, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. We have that promise, we're enjoying it. We're sure that the day's coming when we'll pass immediately into the presence of the Lord. Folks, it's going to be a wonderful thing to die. It's going to be a wonderful thing to go into the presence of Jesus and see your loved ones. It's going to be a wonderful thing when I get up there and call a meeting of the Bible Presbyterian Church. We'll have a great day. And that's going to see these mothers and these daughters and these loved ones. Folks, we have only one life to give to Christ. We have only one mother who seeks to give us all that she has that we might live our lives. You know, I think it's the most marvelous thing that when Jesus identified himself with us, he could have just come down out of heaven, a full-grown man, gone to the cross. The Lord put him in the womb of Mary. And he went through all the processes from the moment of conception, was born, and was reared and trained, and all these, and everything he was identified with us, and yet without sin. And our glory and our privilege is to tell men, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And how many times did he repeat those words? He that believeth on me will never die. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me I will take to my Father. That's mother's prayer. And so I close this message by saying, there are more prayers, no more precious. Many of a mother's prayers have been answered after she got to heaven. But they are answered in the fullness of time in God's way. I told you the other day I was thinking about the speed of light. I still think a lot about it. They tell me that light is 186,000 miles a second. And that's the fastest anything can go. And they measure the heavens and all this sort of thing. They tell us. No, beloved, you've got something that's faster than light. And that's open your mouth and talk to God. It's instantaneous. It's instantaneous. And then we're told that the Lord's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. It's in the English here. No, it's faster than you can split an atom. You won't realize you've changed until you've changed. And it all happened before you had anything to do with it. Absent presence. And that was mother's prayer. Thank God for it. Oh, the precious memories. The precious memories. You know what? I believe God answers prayer. I saw him answer too many of my mothers. You know why I believe prayer gets through so quickly? Because I've seen the answer come back just as fast. Oh, Jesus. He sits at the right hand of the Father. That's what these great now sitteth at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He's a mediator. He's our high priest. He's our prophet. He's our king. He's all in all to you and me, and we have nothing better than to do than to live for him, serve him, and give what we have to his mission. That's what you and I have. Mother's Day. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank thee that Paul was so close to Timothy's family that he talked about Lois, the grandmother. That he was so close that he talked about his mother, Eunice. Oh Father, thank you that he was so intimate in his relationship to this young man. He could emphasize that all the scriptures were given by this inspiration, and they were good. We thank thee that this church has those who are reading the Bible through every day, and there has many of those who carry some of it in their pocket everywhere they go. Father, we believe in Jesus. We have the unsullied faith. The faith that's pure, the faith that's clean, the faith that has no waves in it, the faith that has no hypocrisy about it. We have the faith that bringeth salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we go from here, every one of us, asking that Mother's prayers be answered for us. In His name we ask it. In His precious name. Amen.